kind of like interesting subject for me, and I really am passionate about this subject, and it's called Overcoming the Fear of Lack. And so the goal of today is to have our perspective change and a renewing of our mind about the fear of lack. And also another goal is I want to help release you into all that God has for you and to break off limits over your life. And I feel like that word limits has sometimes held us back from fulfilling what God has for our life. And so does anyone know what I'm talking about? Amen? Yeah. There's sometimes we put limits on ourselves through fear, and it causes us not to fulfill the destiny God has for us. So I'm going to read one of my favorite scriptures to you about refocusing my life. And it's in Romans 14, 7 through 8. It says, "For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it is to honor the Lord, and if we die, it is to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord." And so I just want that to be like the theme of this message. Like, everything we do in our life is to honor the Lord. Like, if we go to church, it's to honor the Lord. If we go to work, it's to honor the Lord. Everything. When we die, it's to honor the Lord, right? Because we're going to be in heaven with Jesus forever, worshiping him. It's going to be the best day of our life, the day you die. I know that's kind of dramatic, but it's true. We get to meet Jesus, and it's going to be beautiful. And so I want to pray for us this morning, and I feel like there's some like spiritual warfare over this subject, even over our lives. And sometimes we're just blind to see where the fears are in our lives. So let me just pray for us, and then we'll jump into this. So Father, right now, I just ask you, God, that you would just come, and any voices of the enemy, God, would just be silent in this room right now, and they would just be gone from us. God, we just say, go away, and we just say, Jesus, come, Holy Spirit, come and rest upon us, Lord Jesus, God. I pray that your words, Holy God, would just be my words, and in this place, you would be honored, and you would be glorified in every single way, Jesus. And I ask you, Jesus, that limits would be broken off of people's lives this morning, and people would be propelled and thrust into their destiny this morning, God. We just ask you for that in this place. I just ask you for souls to be saved because of limits being broken off people's lives. In Jesus' name. Awesome. It's so good. And I do have like a prophetic word that God gave me during worship for Daniel. It's kind of odd. I just feel like I'm going to release it. But many of you guys don't know this, but Daniel fell off the roof. How old were you when you fell off the roof? 17. And your leg was crushed, right? Like shattered. Ankled. Okay. Like completely shattered, and it's caused you not to be able to be a roofer anymore, right? Yeah, you can't do athletic stuff as much. So, but I felt like God just showed me this picture of you when you fell off that roof. Like, you could have died. Like, you could have just died. And, like, I just, like, think of your life now. And God was showing me pictures of your life now, of Lisa and your beautiful children, and, like, how you guys honor and serve the Lord, and, like, how you're reaching out to, like, drug addicts and, like, coming to know Jesus. And, like that couldn't have happened if your life ended right then. And so, like, God has, like, this crazy plan for your life. And he's, like he's rescuing you from things that could have completely harmed you and derailed you. But, like, there's so much more. And, like, there's huge plans and purposes for your life. And I'm just excited to see them unfold. So that was what God wanted me to release to you. Kind of not on this subject, but kind of, you know. So I'm excited about that. So, all right, so how did this conversation come up? How did this topic come up? So me and Chad were talking, this is a vulnerable moment, and he was like, we were talking and we had a disagreement, which happens in marriage, right? Who has a disagreement in their marriage ever? Okay, we have perfect people in the room. Okay, that's good. No one ever has a disagreement. that's good, you know. But we had a disagreement, and he felt like before we could bring in more children into our home instead of piling them up into rooms, he felt like we needed a bigger space to put the children, you know, because they need a place to sleep, you know. So I was like, no. Like, they can just kind of cram in. It's kind of life, you know. And he's like, no, like, this is what I feel like God wants, you know. I feel like we need a bigger house, at least 5 bedrooms. And I was like, I can't do that, like. And he's like, well, it's not you doing it. But I'm like, I can't think of a way for me to save $150,000+ for a new house. Like, I can't think of a way to do that with me. And he's like, but it's not you. It's not you doing that. And I was like, I was limiting God. So I was like, he's like, you don't believe God could do that for us. And I was like, I don't know why God would want to do that for me, is what I said. And right there, I just, like, knew something was off. And, like, for me, it was like, a sin. Like, I had to repent of it because I was putting limits on God and what he could do over my life. And I just didn't even realize it because I was thinking of, like, Africa and, like, how people live in huts. They have 5,000 children in one hut, you know? And, like, I was just thinking, like, it would just be selfish to want something like that. And he was like, all right, do you don't think God could take care of them and you? And I was like, oh, my gosh, yes. Okay, yes. Okay, so I just realized that there, in a way, there was a fear of lack over my life. I was not trusting God as the source of my life. I was trusting myself and my income, what I could do, what I could squish together, what I could make happen in the budget to make it work out so that my life could be the way we thought it should be. But, like, that's not right. It's God is our source. So, and you might be thinking, why don't you just take out a loan? But you'll find out later we don't go into debt, and that's something that we'll talk about here in a minute. So yes, there is poorer people than me, and, like, that was, like, it was wrong of me to, like, think that God wouldn't take care of me just because there's poorer people than me. And so that's just not true. And so it's also just not about having a ton of money. It's about trusting the Lord. So let's go on the opposite side of the spectrum here. Same issue, same kind of heart issue is there could be someone that's laying awake in bed at night in fear that tomorrow they won't have any money. Crazy anxiety, like, okay, what if the pipes break? What if, like, my car breaks down? What am I going to do? How am I going to get to work? What if I get laid off at my job tomorrow and their mind just starts racing? Or, like, what if I can't get this bill paid? And there's just anxiety and they're up at night. This is the fear of lack right there. That is one of those issues. Another fear of lack is, like, we have dreams of our heart, like things that we feel like God wants us to do in our life. But because we feel like we're lacking finances or abilities, we say that we can never have that happen. And that's another form of fear of lack. And sometimes that has to do with, like, our abilities, but it also has to do with, like, if you have the finances to do it. So in this context today, I'm going to be talking about finances, but it's also not just about finances, it's about talents and time and all sorts of different areas of your life. So you can just kind of fill in the blank if you struggle with the fear of lack in those other areas of your life. Yeah. Another fear of lack is, we would never consider giving because what if I didn't have enough money? If I gave my brother $50, what if I need $50? What about that? That money's just gone. So that's another fear of lack. And that is something that's a mind shift that we're going to talk about and we're going to work on and we're going to get excited about. And by the end of this, I hope everyone's excited about giving all their money away. That's my goal. All right, let's try it out. All right, so it's time for a perspective change, too. So this is just fun perspective. I love statistics. I love Googling information. It's just fun, like, because I love information age. I'm a millennial, almost. I'm on the border. Okay, so according to Investopedia, in the world, if you make more than $30,000 a year, this is super surprising to me, you are in the 1% of the most wealthiest people in the whole earth. $30,000 or more a year. This is, like, mind-blowing to me. Like, it's just, I can't even fathom that. And so, like, just let's put that in perspective for the United States, because we're an extremely wealthy nation, right? So our poverty level for a family of four is at $22,000 a year, which I know it would be difficult to live off of $22,000 a year, right? Like, that would, in my mind, it would in the United States because of cost of living, all that kind of stuff. But still, they're not far off from that 1% of the most wealthiest people in the whole world. And in the United States, there's so many people that are on antidepressants and anxiety medicines because they have anxiety about what's going to happen in their life. And they are the most wealthiest people on the planet. It's crazy to me. You guys understand my perspective here? I'm just, like, giving you a perspective on what's going on here. And then also, let's say you don't have any of that. You have $2,000 net worth, like $2,000 in your name. If you sold everything, you had $2,000, you would be in the top 50% of the wealthiest people in the world. It's crazy. It's crazy. And so also, if you own a home, you're in the top 4% of the most wealthiest people in the world. It's just a perspective change. These are just fun facts, but I just want to get into here about some steps on how to overcome the fear of lack. I did want to just give those, though, because I just want us to, like, think about our life a little bit. Like, the things that we're worried about, is it the most important thing? I know God can, like, provide for us, all that stuff. Like, so let's just get into this. So the three steps, I'm going to give them to you right away, and then we're going to get into them. It's obey, give, and trust. We're going to start with obey. Obey God, of course. It's good to obey your parents too, right? Kids are on the front row. Okay, so we trust God with our financial security. If he asks us to do something, we say yes, 100%. It doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. If God asks you to do something with your finances, your answer is what? Yes, yes. It's a good idea to say yes. That's obedience, right? Jesus commands it. So in Romans chapter 2, verse 6 through 8, it says, God will repay each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But those who are self-seeking and reject the truth and follow evil, there'll be wrath and anger. Crazy. So those that are seeking to honor and glory his name will receive eternal life. And those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil will receive wrath and anger. Basic principle of the gospel. You guys all heard that, but it's true. In Luke 11, verse 28, Jesus replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. So there's a blessing attached to obeying God's word. So like I said, what God tells you might be completely opposite of what he tells the person sitting next to you in this room. It's crazy. So I want to tell you guys our story about when we said yes. This was probably one of the most pivotal decisions that we made in our marriage with our finances. And even to, like, the worldly standards, it still doesn't make sense to them. Like, if we were listening to the world, it would have been better for us to do it that way. So let me get into this story. So about, I don't know how long ago, 4 years ago, probably, me and Chad were sitting at the Gather the Generals conference. You guys were at those before. It was at the Assembly of God Church. And Steve Hickey was preaching about, like, the end times, kind of, something. I don't even know for sure. He was preaching about the end times, and it was good, you know? But he wasn't talking about paying off your mortgages, necessarily. And we were just sitting there, and we were sitting in opposite areas of the church, because who would sit next to their husband in a conference, right? He was doing worship, and I was doing something with, like, speaking, and so we had to sit in different areas. But while that was going on, we both heard God's voice in that moment that said, hey, you need to pay off your mortgage. That's what I heard. And then Chad, during that time, he heard God say, you need to pay off your mortgage. And so we got together that night, and we talked about it, and we both just looked at each other like, we're going to do this thing. We're going to attack this thing. And it was pretty miraculous, actually. So that was in October of that year. And like, we started kind of chipping away with it towards the end of that year to the best of our ability. We weren't making tons of money. Like, mind you, we work retail jobs, like, at the time. So we weren't making a lot of money, and it was fine, but we were just doing what we could with the money we have. And then they offered a Dave Ramsey class at another church, and even in those principles, we kind of worked that together with what we were doing. And even, like, according to the Dave Ramsey principles, we weren't supposed to pay off our house yet. That was like step number 6. But we were doing that like step number 3 for us. Because we heard God. We heard God say that to us. We're like, this is what we're doing. Because we heard God say that to us. And we knew that what God says is true. And so we just, like, God just started speaking to us as we were going through this process of paying off debt of our mortgage. The borrower is a slave to the lender in Psalms 22:7. And then also in Deuteronomy 28:12, it says, the Lord will open up for you his good storehouse, the heavens to rain to give rain to your land in its seasons and to bless all the work of your hands. And this is my favorite part. It says, you shall lend to many nations and you shall not borrow. And I was like, God, let me be that person. Like, let me be the lender, not the borrower. Like, help me, God, to be that person. So, like, there's just so many crazy things. Like, even simple things like, don't spend money without thinking. Like, I was like, oh, that's a crazy thought. Mind blowing. You just don't go to the store and pick up whatever you want to buy. And it's like, where'd all the money go? I don't know. I just spent it all at the store on chips and shirts and stuff. So it's just like my weakness is dresses and chips. It's like, those are my things. Like, I like that stuff. And so it's good stuff, right? They're not bad, right? Right, Josh? Yeah, they're good. But they're just, you know, not necessary, you know. You only need like 12 dresses, right? American standards. we live in America here. We have a high standard of living. The cost of living here is high. I need at least 12 dresses to function in society. I'm just kidding. That was just a joke. Okay, so God was speaking to us. And so like I said, like the worldly wisdom, like this isn't for everyone. Like God's not asking everyone to pay off their mortgage. Like, and I know that's true. But for us in that time frame, like, I understand leverage, I understand not being cash poor, I understand all those things, but when God tells you to do something, you just do it, because he's so much smarter than us. And so, like, and there was fruit from it in our life, like, serious fruit. Like, I feel like we have, it's transformed our whole entire life, and God has blessed us tremendously through this experience of walking with him through the fear of that. So it took about a year and a half to pay off our mortgage from start to finish, which is insane. I don't even know how it's possible. It's crazy. We weren't making that much money at the time. So, but God has blessed us, and he has given us raises. He's given us bonuses. We adopted 2 children through that process. During that time, we got Jenny and Gabe came and lived with us, so we had 2 children during that time too. So it was just crazy. So the big ones for me, though, of the fruit of that experience was it broke fear off my husband's life. He was that person in the beginning that I was talking about that lays in bed at night, like having anxiety about what's going to happen the next day. That was Chad. So sometimes he would wake up at night and do the finances to make sure we were okay. Like, it's just like, that's just where it was. But now it's like totally broken off his life, doesn't think about it anymore at all, because he has peace. Dave Ramsey's slogan is financial peace. So it's good. If you guys want to go through a Dave Ramsey class, I'd recommend it. But whatever God wants you to do. And so also it's been able to give us like dreams again. We're able to dream dreams again and have like hope for our future. We always had this dream that we want to be missionaries, and that is like actually could be a reality right now. If we didn't obey Jesus and he told us to stay in Huron, we could do that because we are financially freed up to be able to do that, and we could thrive financially on the mission field. We just felt trapped before. I felt trapped in the American dream. Has anyone ever felt that way? Like, I just felt trapped. I'm like, I don't want to go to work, 8-to-5 job. I don't want to pay my mortgage. I don't want to do this. Like, get up, go to work, pay, get money, pay the bills. Get up, go to work, get money, pay the bills. Like, it's just so, like, hopeless. Like, that's not the kind of life that Jesus wanted me to have. So for me, that was, like, so much freedom for me. I feel, like, so much less trapped. And we are able to live on less now because we learned how to live on less. And that the most important thing about this is we're able to give more than we've ever been able to give before in our life because of this experience. So we're used to living on minimum wage wages. So it's really easy for us to give now, because now that we're making more, it's easier because we're used to that other lifestyle. And it was quite comfortable, actually. So the lifestyle that we live. And so God knew what we needed to overcome, and he is so faithful and kind to us. And I just feel like maybe in this room, God is, even as I was talking, he's asking you to do something right now. And it might not be pay off your mortgage, but it might be something different. And he might be asking you to whatever it is. You know, he might be speaking to you. I can't speak for God, you know, obviously, but he's probably speaking to you. And so if he speaks to you, why don't you just write down what he's speaking to you and just bring it before a friend, bring it for God and start praying about it. And just go for it. If he asks you to do something, you have to obey. It's so important. It's a part of loving Jesus. We love and we obey him. I tell that to my kids all the time. What do we do to love God? We love and we obey him, right? That's how we serve Jesus. All right, so the next point. So the first point was to give or to obey. The second point is to give. So here we go. This is my favorite point. It's so much fun. Who in here just like loves giving? Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. It makes you feel like a rock star when you give someone something, right? Like, yes, I did that. That's great. You know, like it's God doing it for you, but it's awesome. So it seems like the complete opposite of what you would do to overcome the fear of lack, but it's the complete right thing to do when you're scared of something happening to your finances. You just start giving stuff away. It's just like, oh, it's not mine anyways. Here you go, Jesus. Like, just start giving. And so it's just kind of how the kingdom of God works. The first will be last. You guys heard that? And the last will be first. You guys heard these things before? Just same thing, principle with giving. And so the next two scriptures that I want to read to you guys are probably, without a doubt, the most challenging scriptures in the Bible, at least for me. They convict me so much. And so the two stories I want to read to you is about the widow's mite and about the rich young ruler. So if you're in your Bibles, you want to turn to Luke chapter 21. And we're going to look through verses 1 through 4. And this is the widow's mite. Everyone has tablets now. It's Luke chapter 21. Yep. It's quiet churning. You just press buttons. It's great. Is there children's church today? You don't know? You can hang out with us. I don't know. My daughter's here. She's supposed to be in children's church, but that's fine. All right. All right. So let's read this thing. So the he in this verse is Jesus. And so Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. He said, truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in their offerings for God. But she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood she had. Oh my gosh. So like, let's talk about how convicting this is. Who feels convicted right now? I do. Okay. So this is a funny story. So like about 3 weeks ago, Chad comes into our bedroom and he just looks sad, like super sad. And I was like, what's wrong, bud? Are you sad? Like, why are you so sad? You know, like life is good, you know? And he's like, I just can't do it. What can't you do? He's like, I just can't compare to the widow's mite. And I was like, okay. And I was like, this is why I married you. This is wonderful. So we talked about how we could give more, you know, like, what can we do? And like, we asked ourselves, are we giving out of our surplus versus out of all of our livelihood? And so that's a really hard question for Americans to answer, I feel like. Super hard, and you need to obey Jesus in whatever he tells you to do. And so my second funny story about this verse is I was in Bible school, and I had a roommate, and her name was Brianna, but she changed her name to Justice because she was one of those people, you know, that just, like, really were in love with Jesus and, like, really extravagant and just funny. It's just funny in love with Jesus. So has anyone met anyone like that? Just very spiritual, just kind of runs around the house talking about Jesus and be like, I feel like Jesus has an angel right here, and now I'm going to pray. It's beautiful. I love it. I think it's the coolest thing in the whole world. And so she was a great roommate. But so we were in the service, and they had, like, the offering at the front of the room, and they called for the offering. And then all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I saw this girl, like, crawling up to the front of the service, just, like, in, like, mourning almost. And she just, like, crawling and crawling, and then she just throws her offering into the basket on her knees, and then she just crawls all the way back. I'm like, she just reenacted the widow's mite. And then I realized it was my roommate, Justice, and I was like, I love this girl. Like, it's so funny. It's just like, I just don't even know. It's like, that's just crazy. I love that. If anyone does that here, that'd be weird, right? I love it, though. It's cool. Yeah, next Sunday, that's what Cecile's doing. Bring your mites. So what is a mite? A mite is literally just two of the Roman coins. So it was, they're worth like half a cent. It's not much. So this woman, this widow, was extraordinarily poor. Like, she had nothing, But Jesus said she gave more than all the others. And back then, they had, since they had their offering in the front as well, and it was loud. Like, so you pour your coins in there, and you can make noises. And so the wealthy, they would wait until people were looking, and then they would pour, not all of them, I'm sure, but I've heard stories of, they'd pour it in there, and it would make loud noises, and everyone would cheer when they would pour the money in there, because they're giving lots of money. Yay, thank you for giving all your money, you know? But then this sweet woman gives two little pennies, you know, like, just doot-doot, done. And that's all she had. Like, I just, challenging to the core, you're all going to go away and sell all your stuff. I can feel it. Okay, so whatever Jesus tells you. Okay, so the next one is the next most challenging one for me, and it's an extremely sad story. So Mark chapter 10. Let's turn to there. Is anyone feeling challenged yet? We can't compare it to the widow's mite, man. That's great stuff. And this is about the rich young ruler. All right, and it's going to be verses 17. Hang on, let me see where we're going to read to. All right, we're going to read to verse 23 here. Okay. As he was setting out on a journey, which is Jesus was on a journey, a man came running up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except for God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father or mother." So he's just like, hey, you know what to do to love God. Like, do those things. And so the man said back to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." And I honestly think that he was telling the truth. Like, he legitly was, like, saying the truth. Like, I have kept all these commandments that you have given me. And I feel like he probably was a good man, you know, like, decent. And so this is profound, this next part. He's looking at him. Jesus felt love for him and said to him. So this is Jesus, this in compassion, this is what Jesus says to this man. "One thing you lack. Go and sell all your possessions and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me." Wow. Could you imagine if Jesus told you that right now? Yeah. It's crazy. And then, but at these words, he was saddened and he went away grieving. This is the rich young ruler. For he was one who owned much property. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." Isn't that the saddest story you've ever heard in your life? It's just sad. And so when Jesus asked, he didn't obey. He had the fear of lack. He said, "One thing you're lacking, you fear not having possessions. Those possessions are your security blanket for your life." Jesus, God was not his source. And Jesus had a lot of wealthy friends, and he wasn't telling all of his people that followed him to just go and sell everything. He told some, but he had like a ton of wealthy people around him. But for some reason with this guy, he saw his heart, and his heart was holding on to those possessions, and it was keeping him from eternal life, keeping him from experiencing God to the fullest, because Jesus wasn't his source. But for the widow, God was completely her source. She knew that he was the only one that could take care of her. And knowing that, she'll have eternal rewards forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, which is really cool. So I just want to go through a couple keys here about giving. So there's just three keys that I have. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to go through verses 7 through 11 here. And there's three keys in here I want to point out. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 through 11. So the first point I want to say is we give out of joy. It is so much fun. We don't give out of like people looking at us for applaud. We don't give out of like compulsion or guilt. Like I think a lot of people give out of guilt. Like the Girl Scouts come to your door. You don't even eat cookies, but you buy cookies because you feel guilty. That's like a lot of people's, you know, like issue is like, I feel guilty if I don't do this. But we give out of joy. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, it says, each of you should give what you have decided in your hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen, right? That's so good. So you just decide in your heart what to give, and you don't give it reluctantly, you just give it. Just, it's gone. I love that. It makes me so happy. I love it in our marriage. I think this is really important too. Like if Chad wants to give, I joyfully say yes. And if I want to give, he joyfully says yes. Because we know, like, if God's speaking to one of us, we want like everything that God has for us. It's so much fun. And I know that we've never had issues with that in the past. So it's great. So let's go to the next one here. So my next point is God will take care of you when you give. So in verse 8 here, it says, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, you have all that you need. You will abound in every good work. So does it say, like, sometimes you'll go without a meal, sometimes you're going to go without whatever? It doesn't say that. He says he'll give you all things at all times, having all that you need. So that's everything, right? Everyone say all. All, right. And so my last point is in verse 11 there. The point is God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. So it says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on all occasions. And through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I love that. So God blesses us so that we can become a blessing. It just makes me happy. I have some friends. This is a really cool giving story. They actually go to this church. I'm not going to tell you who they are. But whenever they, because I don't want to steal their blessing, right? Because everyone likes to give in secret because there's that verse in the Bible, like you need to give in secret. So we don't want to steal their blessing by telling someone that they're giving. But there's this couple in our church that whenever they're struggling financially, they go out and find ways to bless people. They're like, okay, we're struggling really bad right now. Let's do this. Let's go and buy everyone a ham or something like that. Whatever. It's just very odd, but I love it. That's what God's telling them to do. And so they do it, and it's awesome. Like, and God blesses them and takes care of literally all their needs. It's miraculous. I don't even know how he does it. It's amazing. It's really cool. So giving is so important. The more you give, the more you'll be blessed. Amen. All right. God has given us ability in our marriage to give large amounts and every year to be able to increase it. And honestly, like, I'm just going to say it, but like the tithe is like minimum. And I just want to throw it out there and just challenge you to see what it does to your life when you give beyond the tithe. Just see what happens in your life. And it's so much fun because you know where the tithe's going. Your tithe's going to your church, right? So it's easy. Be like, okay, that's done. But when you have like all this other like slush giving money is what we call it, like just the slush giving fund. It's so fun. Like if our friends like had their house burned down, which they did, we can give them money because we have a slush fund to give them money to. And like it's not like a question of whether or not we want to give, it's how much we give now. And it's just like, I'm not trying to say that to be boastful, but I'm trying to say that because like God has brought us into this victory, this place where we're able to do that. And I know that that's where we can thrive. I feel like we're thriving in the giving realm because that's what God's told us to do. And every year we try to up it. I'm like, sure, because like I know that that's the more we give, like the better it is. And so when I was a child, actually the person that taught me how to give, I was like 15. Kind of a child. Still a child, right? My 16-year-old's on the front row. Okay, so I was still a child. Patty Schultz, she was in our church. I just was a new believer. And she taught me how to do a budget and to finance. And in my budget, I was like doing some crazy stuff. So I had 10% giving. And then I went to this conference and under compulsion, it was probably under compulsion, but it's fine, whatever. I decided to fund like 10 of these orphans and different, like, you know how you can spend $30 a month and you can send money overseas and sponsor children? Like, that's what I started doing. I started collecting these pieces of paper and I started sending money overseas to these orphans. And so I was giving away over half my income as like a little teenager because Patty Schultz taught me how to budget. And she was like, you can do that. And so I still funded my own mission trips. And so it was awesome. Like, God was using all that. I worked really hard, though. I had a job, of course. You know, I wasn't just doing it by faith, you know, so, which is still all by faith, of course. I do have friends that do that. I don't want to, like, criticize them, but they quit their job and they're going to live on faith, and that's fine. You can do that if God tells you to do that. Only if God tells you to do that, okay? There's a whole bunch of scriptures in Proverbs about being diligent. This is just a complete side note. Just need to say it, about being diligent and a hard worker. And like everyone in this room, I know you guys are crazy hard workers. But God definitely blesses the diligent, for sure. Yeah. And there's also reasons why we can't work. My point to say is also is to be in union with your spouse on this. It's very, very important. It brings a blessing in your marriage. It brings a blessing to your kids. All things. So if you want your kids to have a crazy godly inheritance in the area of giving, just start giving with your spouse. Let them see it too. Let them know what you're doing. Be like, our family did this. You guys did that. You guys were able to give that, which is really cool for them to see that. So, all right. So the first one is to obey. Second one is to give. And the third one is to trust. And this one is so important. So we've been saying this over and over again, but it's so true. God is our source, not our jobs, and not our family. Yeah, he is totally the one that's going to take care of us. He is a loving God, and he's going to take care of you. My son, Gabe. So you guys remember a few weeks ago, we took up an offering for sweet Felicia to get a car, which is super cool. Like, I love that. That's what the church should do. That's what we should do with giving. But during the service, Gabe turned to me and he said, Mom, I wish I brought my $20. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so sweet. You know, but he didn't bring his $20. It's the only money he has to his name, right? It's $20 in his piggy bank. He got it for something, Christmas or something. I don't know. And I was like, well, if you think of it next week, you can bring it. Sunday morning, next week comes along. He wakes up. He remembers instantly, Mom, I got to get my $20 to give to Felicia. And as a parent, you're like, oh man, that's all your money. You know, like, you're going to be able to buy anything now. But that's awesome. Like, because you just want to instill these great attributes in your child. And so I'm like, go for it, bud. And like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, am I gonna give him another $20? No, I'm not going to do that. You know, like, I'm trying to think of a way to make it. I'm just going to let him do it. And then all of a sudden, Jenny goes, I want to give my dollars. She calls them dollars, which is super sweet. She doesn't understand what they mean, but they're dollars. And then so they went to church, gave Felicia their dollars. They were super happy about it, and it was great. Later to find out, Jenny thought that was her $50 bill that she had and not just her $1 bill, which is super sweet. Because we were saving that $50, we took it from her so she wouldn't lose it, because we're good parents. Because we're saving it because she's going to go to Disney World. But it's so sweet that she thought she was giving everything she had as well, because it's contagious. Like, the more your friend gives, they're like, I want to do that. Like, I want to give some money to that. That's exciting. So that's what your brother and sisters are supposed to do, right, guys? Yeah. And they understand that if they give all their money away, their dad's going to take care of them, their mom's going to take care of them, they're going to be able to eat, you know, that's fine. That's the same thing with God. If we give everything away, God's going to take care of us. It's so true. And it's a silly example, but it's so true. So I just want to think about this too real quick here, is when we dream about our life, we don't want money to limit us. So when you sit down to make your dream list, which we all should be doing, we should be dreaming with God, and we should go based on the budget that we have today, be based on the budget that we can afford today. We want to go on the base like there's unlimited budget because we are belong to the kingdom of God. There is no limits to us in this thing because God's going to take care of us and he has our back and everything we do, everything we, if it's ordained by God, it's going to work out because God's going to take care of the bill, right? Amen. All right. So I want to go into this. I don't have a ton of time, so I'm probably going to butcher this story, but I'm going to try to say it without reading it. Chad's laughing because I did this to him last night and it wasn't great. All right, so this is the story of the talents. So you guys heard this story lots of times. So in the story, a master comes and gives three servants talents, which is an amount of money. So in the story, the master is God and the servants is us, people, right? And so to one, he gives five talents. The next one, he gives two talents. And then the third one, he gives one talent. So this first one, he goes, and what did you do with the money? He goes and multiplies it, and he gets 10 talents. The second one, he goes, he sees this money in his hand, and he says, awesome, I'm going to go multiply it. And he brings back 4 talents. This third one was scared to death because he was like, what if I don't multiply it? What if I lose it? What if God, like, his wrath comes upon me because I didn't do anything to it? Like, I didn't multiply it at all. So he said, you know what? It's better for me to just do nothing then. So I'm just going to bury it in the ground. So then at least I have one talent left, you know? And so when Jesus comes back, the master, he sees the one with 10 talents that multiplied it. And he was like, good job, dude. Like, you're awesome. That's Pastor Jeff talk. He says dude a lot, right? You're awesome. Here, come enjoy wealth, and you can be in charge of 10 cities. Okay, let's just do that. Let's put you in charge of all these cities, which is cool. Like, I don't know how this all works, but God does, okay? And so this guy, who multiplied it to 4, he's like, good job. Let's give you some more. We're going to put you in charge of 4 cities because you were amazing. You multiplied it. You got more. And then this guy, another sad story, a tragic ending, is he's like, what the heck? Like, you did nothing. And you knew that wrath and anger would come if nothing would happen. Like, but you decided to bury it. At least you could have put it in the bank and got interest or something. You could have tried to multiply it. And so what did he say to him? He took it. He took his one talent, gave it to the wealthy, and said that, you're going to go to where there's gnashing and weeping of teeth, which we all know is hell. It's such a sad story. Isn't that intense? Like, this guy was so fearful to do anything that he did nothing, right? It's extremely sad. Don't have the fear of lack in your life. So in Psalms 37:25, I'm just going to reiterate this. This is such an amazing verse. It says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I have never seen a man who is right with God left alone or his children begging for bread. Like, you can probably hear people quoting that all around all the time. Never have I seen the righteous forsaking or their children begging for bread. It's like a truth in the word. When we live a righteous lifestyle, God's going to take care of us. And then in Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13, it says, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. If you, who are sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That's just saying, like, earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to their children. And sometimes I feel like we even trust our earthly father more than we do God to provide for us. And it's just, he is like, he has no sin, and he's perfect, and he wants to take care of us. I think we need to renew our minds almost about how much Father God loves us and wants to take care of us, which is so good. All right, and then I'm going to read this again, and then we're going to watch a little video, and then I'm going to pray to end. Okay, a really cool testimony, actually. So in Romans 14:7-8, we read this at the beginning. I want to read it at the end here again. It says, for we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor who? The Lord. Yeah, God. If we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. That's right. I want to watch this video. Let me turn the lights off. it's not about the fear of lack, but it does have to do with fear. And so I think it was really powerful, and I think it's like applicable to all of us as a story. Let's just play it, okay? It's going to be really good. And then I'll pray to end us.
I have one of the most outrageous testimonies to share before we do this today. By the way, I just landed from Australia yesterday, and the moment I turned my phone on yesterday morning, I heard the amazing news that Mosul was liberated from ISIS. Come on. Come on. And isn't God just funny? The same, Grand Mosque where they declared the end time caliphate and they executed their ISIS, their reign of terror, in front of that same mosque, which has crumbled just a few days ago, believers held a prayer meeting. So good. So good. What a great time to be alive. What an amazing time to be alive. Well, I just want to share this quick testimony, and then we're gonna break some stuff. It's going to be awesome. So the title of this testimony is ISIS Assassin Converts to Jesus. It's a good place to start, right? Day three. Why not? So the story is this guy, the Lord is moving with such amazing encounters all across the Middle East right now. More Muslims are getting saved in these countries than we've seen in hundreds of years. And Jesus himself is appearing as a man in white. In fact, our last few trips there, we didn't even like do altar calls. I was there four times last year. We just say, hey, who's seen a vision of a man in white? People just raise their hands. It's so easy. And so the Lord appeared to this guy named Abraham, great name, and he called him out in a refugee tent, and he said, you are going to be my evangelist. You are going to win millions of Muslims to Jesus, da-da-da-da-da, to myself, all this. And then he anointed him. The guy left the camp, and he started just going wherever the Lord would send him. Now, so many people were getting saved that ISIS put a hit out on his life. And they actually sent an assassin from Syria to cross over the border to Iraq and to execute this guy. Now, he had heard all these stories, and all of these people started to warn him. All the fear-mongering people came into his life. At his moment, his greatest moment of breakthrough in his life, in his young ministry, the fear came. And they said, man, you just got to chill out, bro. You need to, bring it down a notch. Your family's, everyone knows you're on the hit list now. Your family, your kids, your children, think about them. And so the story goes is that as Abraham's wrestling with this fear, and he knows what he's called to do, but yet the threats are coming against him. And he's actually a carpenter, which is another good thing. Abraham the carpenter. And I'm just going to read this, a little bit of this testimony. This is published in Voice of the Martyrs. It's legit. It just came out. It says, one day when he was working outside of his house with an electric saw, as he used it, the blade suddenly popped off and caught him in the mouth. Had the blade hit him a few inches lower, it could have hit an artery in his throat. If it had hit him a few inches higher, it could have blinded him. As he stood in shock for a moment, bleeding, he heard the Lord speak to him, saying, I am in control of when your life will end. Do not be afraid. So, as he's there, a few days later, this ISIS assassin named Fadi comes after him. He shows up dressed in black with a knife, the real deal, coming straight for his house. As he's running to his house screaming, Abraham hears it, steps outside, and as this assassin is running towards him, he yells out in a loud voice. He goes, you are driven by the prince of demons and Jesus is going to set you free. And he starts prophesying. Starts prophesying to this assassin. Now what happens is as he's speaking this, while the guy is running at him with a knife. You want to talk about persecution? It's a little different over there. As the guy's running at him with a knife, he starts to shake uncontrollably as Abraham's declaring this to him. He falls to the ground. The knife falls out of his hand. And Abraham goes over, stands right next to him and says, "What have you come here for? What do you want?" And then Fadi, the ISIS assassin, looks up at him and goes, "I want to know salvation." Come on. Come on. Come on. So on the spot, he delivers this guy. He gets filled with the Holy Spirit. He starts prophesying. He comes as an assassin and he leaves as an evangelist. And I just feel like today, like this fear thing, God is raising up trumpets all over the earth, singing songs to break fear. Singing songs, and we have so much pressure in our culture, so much fear, so much anxiety, so much stuff to conform and to be passive and to dumb it down. And I just feel like a lot of you came here for 2 weeks to get so wild and so courageous and so bold. And it's not about how many we can gather, but it's about how many we can send next Friday. And so we want to pray that God would break the spirit of fear off of every person's life in the room. And that this wild, crazy, you know, I was just putting my daughter to bed last night. She's six and she's dealing with being afraid of the dark.
That's so good.
And we just were reciting the verse. Right. I said, "Tura, just..."
Yeah, isn't that awesome? It was so good. Power. Like that story, I was like, I was going to retell that story. And I was like, no, he did a really good job. I was going to let him do it. Why recreate the wheel here? And so I just... It's okay. I just feel like that just puts everything in perspective, doesn't it? Like your whole life. I just feel like the things that we necessarily care about don't necessarily matter as much when we put it in perspective of what those guys are dealing with. And like what he said to him too is like, I could end your life right now. Like, I have you here for a purpose. Go do your purpose. Like, let's go do this thing. And so like, I just feel like God wants us to respond this morning. So if you guys want to, like, I don't know how I want to do this. Maybe I'll just raise your hand. That's probably easiest. So if you want to respond to overcoming the fear of lack this morning, I just want you to raise your hand, and then we'll just gather around and we'll pray for each other. So that's the plan. So we'll just do it for a little bit here. So if you want to overcome the fear of lack, let's just raise your hands here this morning if that's you. Awesome. Figured it would be a lot of people. That's good. All right, so those that are around these people, why don't you guys gather around them? And then Felicia, Rose, yeah, Cecile, you guys want to gather around these people? And we're going to pray for them. You guys want to come gather around? Is it Joseph, right? Yeah, come gather around. Pray for Joseph. Josh and Rose, let's pray for them. Did you have you guys' hands up back there? I don't think there's enough people. So you guys, I think we need a teamwork. Daniel, can you come help? You going to pray for him? Yep, I think everybody needs to be involved. Matthew K., you want to come pray for Josh and Rose? Or you guys want to come too? There you go. All right, so I just want you guys to pray. And what you're doing when you're praying for them is I want you to break off anything over their life that's from the enemy. And then after that, just pray how God wants you to pray. So just ask God for words for them and stuff like that. So, yeah. So go ahead and start praying. I'm just going to pray a quick prayer, and then you guys can start. All right. So, Father, right now, we just command right now, Jesus, that fear would leave this room, that fear would leave those who have said they want to break off the fear of lack over their life. And I just ask you right now, Father, that you would just drop in ideas and ways they can obey you more, Jesus, in those areas. And I just pray that right now in Jesus' name. So let's just start praying for our brothers and sisters.